Morning, it's Dave Flyer back with you on 720 WGN. So with the mild winter we've been having, Chicago's real estate landscape has been booming with a very active construction season. Many of Chicago's lesser-known architectural gems are often left to deteriorate over the years, many of which ultimately face demolition or redevelopment that strip buildings of their architectural pedigree. And to highlight these endangered historic structures, the organization Preservation Chicago releases a list every year of the buildings that it deems to be most endangered. Now, an incredible resource on the web is Curbed Chicago, which provides insightful coverage of the country's most vibrant urban center. And joining me this morning is the editor of Curbed Chicago, and that is A.J. LaTrace. Good morning, A.J.
Good morning, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Now, this Preservation Chicago puts out this list every year. And the list varies as far as quantity. And for the reason that they're hopeful they would be saved in some way.
Right. Yeah. The main point of doing this is to raise awareness about these buildings, and in hopes that, you know, there could be either some sort of grassroots organization to save it, or maybe, you know, a developer might step in and come in and adapt some of these buildings and do something else with them. A lot of times these buildings, as you've said, have been around for years and may no longer be useful to the companies that have built them or for whatever use they were built for. But preservation groups think that these buildings are worth saving.
But architecturally, they are so much a part of people's neighborhoods for the most part. I mean, they're iconic buildings, a lot of them.
Yeah, that's very true. And that's one thing that, you know, with Preservation Chicago, when they do these lists, they really try to hit on exactly what you said, buildings that really give neighborhoods an identity, that really play into Chicago's architectural legacy. And, you know, last year, for example, some of the buildings that were listed were kind of seeing preservation battles happening right now.
That's great.
So
that's great.
You know, so yeah, there's definitely an opportunity to save these buildings, but, you know, it's pretty urgent for many of these.
Now, the first one, and let's talk about one of these, Altgeld Gardens. Tell me a little bit about this place.
Yeah, so the Altgeld Gardens community is one of the early public housing developments in Chicago.
And 1940s, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And similar to the Lathrop Homes on Diversey, which, you know, some folks on the north side may be more familiar with, it was built in this sort of idealized way of planning where, you know, the homes are low, you know, one, two-story homes. There's a lot of green space. Architecturally, they're interesting buildings. And the issue with that development right now is that a number of the buildings, the original buildings, have been demolished, and a couple dozen more, I believe, are slated for demolition.
Yeah, there's like 50 of these. So like 15 are gone, and there's another 25 ready to go.
A bunch, yeah. And so the concern is, and many of them are still occupied and being used today, but the concern, you know, preservationists have is that if you demolish so many of the buildings, it really affects the master plan. It's no longer an original. The whole thing has changed, and we've been seeing a similar issue with Lathrop Homes, for example, where the sort of stakeholders that want to redevelop that have been trying to get historic tax credits, but the National Historic Trust, you know, they don't want to give funds to something when, you know, a major chunk of it's being
demolished.
It's
going to be gone. It's lost its integrity.
Right.
So to speak. Cornell Store and Flats, and this is on East 75th Street.
Yeah, this is actually probably personally one of the more fascinating ones for me. This is an old, I believe it was built in 1908, so it's a very, very old building. And the architect is Walter Burley Griffin. And
Prairie style.
Yeah, so folks who are familiar with Frank Lloyd Wright, he's kind of the superstar of the Prairie School. And there were a bunch of other architects from the era. But interesting thing about this building is that it's a mixed-use development where there's a commercial, you know, some commercial spaces and then also some a residential component as well. And it's one of the only, it's a very rare existing building of commercial prairie style architecture.
Wow.
Because there's plenty of residential. I mean, it's everywhere.
Sure.
You know, you go to Oak Park and you can see prairie homes everywhere. But, you know, as far as commercial development, this is one of the only ones left.
And they say it's one of the most endangered in the state, really.
Yeah. Right now. Yeah. And actually,
it's a beautiful building. I saw pictures. It's cool.
It's just an odd situation. The owner passed away and then the son inherited it. And then the son went to prison. And so it's just been this like fiasco about the ownership.
Wow.
And so,
wow.
And there's actually been groups who've come in and shown interest in taking over it and redeveloping it.
Well, but what happens at that point? If somebody, or is that the situation?
Like, I think that's the problem right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
One of the coolest things that I always see out on the lake and when I'm out on a boat on the lake is those old water cribs that are out there. And I'm always curious to know, because I think they were built, you know, one was built in the late 1800s that's still there, one in the early 1900s. What was the purpose? Were people living in there like a lighthouse?
The really early ones, they did have a small staff there. But, you know, as folks in Chicago well know, especially during the age of the stockyards and things like that, our water systems weren't necessarily the cleanest water systems. Mm-hmm. So when the city first developed its sewer system and fresh water system, it built these cribs, I mean, way out on the horizon.
Yeah, they're way out there.
To pull water in. And so, you know, a couple of these that you mentioned are no longer in use, and the city is looking to demolish them, but preservationists think that these buildings are worth saving just, you know, partially because of their history, but because they're also architecturally interesting as well.
I mean, you can see them when you're landing, when you're coming over on in a plane, you can see the little balls kind of down there. Are they talking about preserving them out where they are, or maybe bringing them in, or is that not even possible?
You know, I'm not really exactly sure about that, but I think it would be sort of leaving them as they are.
Okay. Yeah. All right. There's also some art that's included this year, Chicago's 20th century public sculpture. It's that black and white art piece that is in danger. It needs a lot of work.
Right. Yeah. So the one you're speaking about is outside of the Thompson Center, and you know, some viewers may have heard over the last year or so, Governor Bruce Rauner has stated intentions of wanting to essentially offload the Thompson Center from state books. And one of the sort of unintended consequences or side effects of something like this would be what happens to the public art. And it's not just that building, but, you know, just recently, Blackstone Group, which is now the owner of the Willis Tower here in Chicago, they announced their a major renovation of the building, a $500 million renovation. And there's an Alexander Calder sculpture inside in the lobby currently. And so there's some uncertainty where that fits in the redevelopment, or if it's even going to be there, or what's going on with that. So,
or to find a home for it, or sell it to, so it's on for public display,
right?
Someplace,
because a lot of the ones that preservationists are concerned about are sort of modernist era public art. So, things from the 50s, 60s, 70s.
Sure, absolutely. Jackson Park, a lot of changes are going to be happening there with the Obama Presidential Center happening, and one of those things are the South Shore Cultural Center. What's the deal there? Mm-hmm.
Well, there's just a lot going on in general down there.
Yeah.
There's a major renovation of the golf course.
It's a Tiger Woods.
The Tiger Woods design. Yeah. And I think there was some talk about trying to make it, you know, make it one of these sort of flagship golf courses where we could have pro tournaments and stuff come through. And then we also have the Obama Library coming through, and they're getting a big chunk of Jackson Park. So I think the concern, it goes back to sort of what the issues with Othgill Gardens is. It's changing the sort of master plan, you know, of these historic places, and how much alterations can we make to some of these spaces until we say it's no longer has its original pedigree?
No, some of the stuff, and I you look back in the early to mid 20th century, there were times that buildings were just relocated. They literally moved it brick by brick.
You don't
see or hear a lot of that. It's just it's either there or it's gone.
Yeah, no, and that's kind of the unfortunate thing. There have been a couple of buildings, high-profile movings lately during the McCormick Place sort of entertainment district. There was a historic home there called the Harriet Reese House, and the city actually did take care of that and get that moved a few blocks away. historic gray stone, beautiful building. But yeah, unfortunately, we see a lot of buildings go to the wayside. Yeah.
And then there's the Madison-Pulaski Commercial District that's endangered a little bit.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Last year, Preservation Chicago highlighted Chinatown, the historic sort of center of Chinatown. And for this year, they highlighted the Madison-Pulaski sort of stretch. And this is in West Garfield Park. And
it's a lot of Art Deco out there, right?
Yeah, and it's just an interesting mix of stuff. And, you know, in the age of Amazon and big box stores, you know, people aren't really shopping, or, you know, the sort of Main Street USA has changed so much. And, you know, back in the 1920s, you know, Chicago was a boom town. I mean, the population was just growing faster than, you know, any city. And some of these commercial districts were the most vibrant, bustling districts. And, you know, over the years, as the neighborhoods change and, you know, economic recessions hit and things of this sort, you know, a lot of these buildings tend to fall to the wayside.
And there's also the Union Station Powerhouse. And to me, that I never knew what that building was until I saw a picture of it, because if I've taken river cruises or whatever, I always see this building and always say to myself, what is this thing? So
yeah,
it was for it was a powerhouse for Union Station, but it's been inactive for what, like 5-6 years, something like that?
Yeah, it's been inactive for a number of years now. And so it's actually owned by Amtrak.
Okay.
And the problem is that they have no use for it anymore. I mean,
it's not accessible. I mean, it's not, you know, can't change
right.
it to a bar and a restaurant. It's kind of in an awkward spot. Yeah.
It's in a tough spot. So, you know, they don't really have any use for it anymore. And actually, they want to demolish it and build a parking lot. And unfortunately, that's
nice.
Kind of the sad thing that we see a lot about these historic buildings, is that a lot, even in, you know, these are some of the high profile ones, but even smaller ones are oftentimes demolished to make room for parking. But, you know, the fascinating thing about this, the Union Station Powerhouse, is that it's certainly a good candidate for adaptive reuse.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even that huge of a powerhouse. So
it's not a massive structure.
Right. And, you know, river frontage, you know, I mean, there's definitely some creative uses that could be done with it.
So, I mean, just giving them the opportunity, or encouraging the opportunity, to go explore a sale to somebody that wants to redevelop it, than trying to just do it themselves and flatten it out, right? I mean,
I think that's what preservationists are really hoping for.
Yeah,
yeah, just an outright sale.
Other notable projects coming around the city right now. There's progress, a little progress, on redeveloping the old main post office that we've been listening to for 20 years. Something is going to happen there. This guy bought it. This guy's going to do this. There's been some paperwork filed, at least, to show some movement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, just recently, there was a permit issued by the city, a building permit, that indicated that work on the lobby is ready to begin.
Wow.
But, you know, as you mentioned, this has been kind of a fiasco, really. And for a long time, people, developers, folks in the city, folks who are observing real estate in Chicago, felt like it was a lost opportunity. And so, the previous owner, eccentric British developer,
right, remember
his name
that.
Was Bill Davies.
Mm-hmm.
The city finally put pressure on him to do something with it. So he outright sold it. And the developer that owns it now is looking to do office space. And there's going to be a number of amenities as well, like a large sprawling green roof area. There's going to be some landscaping to the river frontage. So, but, you know, it's a massive building. It's going to take a long time.
It is. So. And the longer it waits to be developed or any movement on it, there's more deterioration. I mean, they were saying first responders would have a hard time getting through there right now, just based – I mean, you think about this. It's been abandoned pretty much for 20 years.
Right. And, you know, for folks who are listening who aren't familiar with this building, it's a massive Art Deco building that was built during the time where Chicago was a major merchant city. You know, we have Sears –
right.
And Montgomery Ward.
Right.
And all these major merchants and mail order
Marshall
businesses.
Marshall Fields.
So, you know, it was basically built to assist that industry. And
over 290, you drive underneath it still to this day.
And but you know, as you said, it's been, you know, essentially unsafe. It's caught on fire a couple of times in the last couple of years.
Wow. Yeah. So hopefully something will happen there.
Oh yeah.
You've always got fascinating stories that you feature that are just a little bit outside of the mainstream. There's a mansion for sale by William Warren Boyington. He was the man that designed the iconic Chicago Water Tower. We're not talking about Water Tower Place. We're talking about the structure that still stands after the Chicago fire.
It's one of the only – the Chicago Water Tower is – it's really a symbol, an important symbol of Chicago for being one of the only structures that survived the Great Chicago Fire. And so this, yeah, this house, it's out in the suburbs. I can't recall which one right now, but it's just a little old farmhouse.
That's what it looks like.
And it looks very quaint. And, you know, unfortunately, this architect, a lot of his buildings were lost during the fire. So, you know, here's an opportunity to get a real piece of Chicago architectural history.
Yeah, it's very cool. I saw it. It does. It looks like a little farmhouse out in the country, but it just has such significance. Historical significance.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
What's the latest at Wrigley and the developments surrounding the ballpark? It's moving along, but I'm telling you, I drove by there the other day, and I've seen aerial shots, and opening days in like less than a month or in a month away. It looks a little nerve-wracking to me that they're going to be finished by then.
There's so much going on, and there's so much still being debated right now between the aldermen up there and the Ricketts family. But I'm sure a lot of the WGN listeners and viewers are sad to see the McDonald's go there on the corner.
It's all gone. All gone. Yeah,
that
terrible.
Old McDonald's, that's awful. Gone. There's a lot. Even beyond the stuff the Ricketts are doing, there's new hotels, retail, and then there's going to be a plaza next door to Wrigley Field.
Which I wasn't so concerned. Like I don't even know how many games. I went to a couple dozen games last year, and you know all the construction that's going on outside of it. But once you were in the ballpark, you didn't really know what was going on. But right now the field's torn up. The inside is torn up. So I'm not so concerned about – I'm glad to see that there's progress in the next few years. We're going to have a whole different neighborhood happening there. But, yeah, the field itself, there's some work to do.
Oh, yeah. there's always work to do there.
Jefferson Park has been in the headlines featuring an alderman, Arena, who – honestly, what I've read, what I've seen, and I've looked at both sides of this. I've talked to people, residents of there. They're looking to put up a housing complex and a storage facility in that neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's going to be a storage, commercial development, but then there's also a residential component too. And right now there's a major affordable housing component in it as well. And so it's really one of the most contentious things right now in sort of the Northwest side. And so, you obviously have folks who are for it. And, I think Alderman Arena's, approach or thought process is we're going to have room for vets and sort of, people who are definitely overlooked in society. But then you have a lot of residents who are very adamantly opposing this to the point where they've been doing petitions, and I believe there's even been a fundraiser
to stop it. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I mean, here's the thing again. This isn't a situation about what's right and what's wrong. It's about listening to the people you represent and caring about what your constituents have to say, and this guy just isn't doing that. And I think people have had, from everything that I've seen and heard, have had a really hard time with kind of the underhanded way this alderman has been going about this. He doesn't want any input, and that's not the way you do business for the people you serve. So I think, obviously, this is going to be an ongoing story.
It's a challenging one. It's really, like you said, there's a lot of moving parts here.
Yep, absolutely. And finally, we'll end on a lighter note here. There is an amusement park in suburban Woodstock that's been there for like 40 years. So this is near and dear to a lot of people's hearts. Go-kart, racetrack, miniature golf course, batting cages, ice cream stand. And it could all be yours because it's up for sale.
It is for sale.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of the dream, right? Get a little slice of the American dream. No, it's an old theme park for sale. I believe it's 1.25 million, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
But it's a turnkey operation. I mean, all the go-karts, the whole miniature golf course.
Probably needs a little love.
It probably does, yeah, you know, yeah. And but yeah, I mean, for the right owner, it could be a really, really incredible opportunity.
But there's so few of these places that are still left that are, you know, that have kind of escaped the digital age to just some good family fun. You think about the Santa's Villages, and there's a lot of these miniature golf courses and novelty golf in Lincolnwood and the drive-in theater that's still in West Chicago. I mean, there's little slices that, mm-hmm. that sit around, and this is one of those, and it deserves to be saved and a new life put into
sure,
it.
Sure, and I think there's opportunities for, you know, some of these legacy businesses to get yeah. some new life under, you know, maybe new management or
absolutely
new ownership.
Very cool. Well, for more on the real estate landscape in Chicago, and I'm telling you, this is the source to go, you check out chicago.curbed.com. AJ, always a pleasure, my friend.
All right, thanks, Dave.
Enjoy your Sunday. All right, it's 720 WGN.